You'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to a very familiar passage, and that is Acts chapter 17. When Paul was in Berea in Acts 17. And as you're turning there, I want to say how glad I am and grateful I am for the opportunity to be with the brethren here at Pruitt and Lobet. I've been looking forward to this meeting for a long time, and I'm looking forward to spending some time with you this week in the gospel, and I've had an opportunity to meet several of you already, and I am greatly appreciative of that. Thank you for being here this morning as we spend some time in God's Word. It might be good to answer one question right here at the very beginning of the meeting, and that is, I'm not related to Bruce Reeves. I get asked that all the time. Bruce is a great guy. He's a great gospel preacher and a great guy, but we're not related. Brother Aiken said, I think I heard your brother recently or something like that, and he said, Bruce Reeves. Bruce and I were talking one time. His Reeves family are from the Texas, maybe Oklahoma area. My people are from the Chattanooga, Tennessee area, and we don't seem to be related. Spelled the same way, but I don't think we're related, but I tell him all the time I would be glad to claim you as my brother anytime. He's a good man. It's good to be with the Chaffins and the others here at Pruitt and Lobet. Appreciate this great opportunity. I was off last week. Jonathan's off today. I was off last week. We had a gospel meeting at home and enjoyed that, some good lessons. But it's time to get back to work, so it's good to be with you today. A lot of times at the Bible study hour, I will talk about Bible study. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And we'll begin in just a minute in Acts chapter 17, a very familiar passage where the Bereans searched the scriptures. One memory I have growing up that is a very good memory and was very important in my spiritual formation, and that was daily Bible reading at home as a family. The Bibles were stacked up beside the kitchen table, and every morning after breakfast, we would read a portion of Scripture. And that was very meaningful. Many times through my life growing up, we read the Bible. I was glad to meet the Lackeys this morning, one of our younger families here with children, and I want them to hear this, and all of us, really. But if you can develop at home some sort of a daily Bible reading schedule with your family, that would be so great. Where husbands and wives read together, or reading the Bible with our children. Now, when Sherry and I had our kids, we still have one at home. He's 21 now. The others are older. We chose to do that in the evening. So whenever you choose to do that, whatever works for your schedule, do what works best for you. For us, it was every evening after supper. That was one time where we were all together, and we would spend some time reading the Bible together. That is very important, brethren. And whether we have children or not, some of us are now working on the grandkids, and we can do some things with them even. But spend time a little bit each day with God's Word. I'm not talking about getting our Bible class lesson. That's good. We need to do that. I'm not talking about the men maybe getting ready to preach a sermon or teach a Bible class, although that's important. I'm just talking about personal time with me and God and my Bible. We live in a time period where we have challenges on us that want to push the Bible out of our lives. And so the biggest thing today, of course, we face is technology, right? So we've got our phones, and we've got the computer, and we've got the internet, and I love my phone. I love to use my phone to get directions. Who uses a map anymore, right? So I love my phone. I love to look up things on my phone, find information. I'm not opposed to that. I love it. I don't do a whole lot of social media. I have a website and do a few things online. Not opposed to that. Social media can be used in a very good way. Some of our young Christians are using social media in a very good way to let other people know about the Word of God. So not opposed to that. But sometimes those things, sometimes our phone, for example, can eat up our time and we're not spending time with God's Word. And so you may have heard this, that today and among the younger generation especially, in one sense, they're more connected and less connected at the same time. They're more connected in that they've got their phones and they're staying connected with their friends and so forth that way. But they're disconnected. Sometimes they're disconnected from their parents or older people, or they're disconnected from God. And so they're connected but disconnected at the same time. So it's very important for us to make sure that we spend time with God's Word each day. Now, sometimes folks are reading their Bible today on their phone or their tablet, and that's a good thing too. There's some convenience to that, and there's some advantage to that. But we need to spend some time with God's Word. So this morning during the class, be thinking about how that you can start a daily Bible reading schedule if you don't have that in your life already. Some people read chronologically. Some people read just starting in Genesis and work their way through Revelation. Some people read favorite Bible passages. You pick whatever it is you want that would be good for you, and do something together each day with God's Word, because we live in a world where God's Word is being pushed out, and we're seeing the fruits of it. We're seeing the result of that. And Lord willing, later this week, we will talk about the moral decline that is going on in our own nation. And that moral decline is due in part to getting away from God and getting away from God's Word. Now, it might take some readjustment. Every once in a while, my wife and I will sit down. What do we need to readjust? And the schedule is the big thing, right? We've got so much going on in this day and on this day and on this day and on this day. And we might have to sit down and have a heart-to-heart and readjust some things. And it might be challenging at the very beginning. The first week might be a little tough, getting it kind of going. But after a while, we can develop good habits and we can spend time regularly with God's Word. So this morning, I want to do three things. I want to just remind ourselves of some Bible passages in the Old and New Testament that show the importance of having God's Word in our life on a regular basis. Number two, we're going to look at some specific areas in our life where we need to make sure that we have regular Bible reading in our life. And then number three, we're going to look at the advantages, what it will do for us to have God's Word in our life each and every day. And our young people here, they live in a very challenging world. And as parents or as grandparents, we're doing the best we can to keep them faithful to the Lord. One of the most important things is that they have God's Word in their life. Of course, when you look at Acts chapter 17 in verse 10, we know that Paul had left Thessalonica, and before he makes it to Athens, he goes through this region of Berea. And Luke records in Acts 17 and verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, when they were come there, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures. Your version might say searching the scriptures, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, also of the Greeks, women of honorable estate, and men not a few. The folks here in Berea are different than those in Thessalonica. When you turn back to chapter 17, verses 1 through 4 or 5 or so, when Paul is preaching in the synagogue, he's referring to the scriptures. Look at chapter 17 and verse 2. He reasoned from the scriptures. But many there did not want that. They just dismissed it outright. They didn't want to examine anything. They just said, nope, this is not the case. Jesus is not the Messiah. I don't want to listen to what you're saying. And many of them, verse 5, were moved to jealousy, and they caused a problem. When Luke records in verse 11 that the Bereans were more noble, it's in contrast to those that are in Thessalonica. The word there literally means fair-minded. I preach from the American Standard Version, the 1901 American Standard Version. Noble, when you hear the word noble, you might think of like nobility, royalty. But the word means that someone who's fair-minded, someone who's going to listen and be fair. And verse 11, Paul, when you bring up the scriptures, I want to examine those things. Let me see it for myself. And I want to see what you're saying. That's in contrast to what happened in Thessalonica. Many of them were not willing to do that. Well, then look at verse 12. Look at the result. Many of them therefore believed. I want you to underscore, if you take notes in your Bible, look at the connection between examining the scriptures, verse 11, and believing in verse 12. Many therefore believed. The word therefore is a conclusion. They were examining the scriptures. Therefore, they believed. And it's the same today. If somebody today is saying, well, you know, I'm struggling with this matter of belief. I have trouble believing. I have trouble putting my faith in God or Christ. One of the things they need to do is they need to be examining the scriptures more. Examining verse 10 leads to believing verse 11. So that's where we get the title of our lesson this morning, examining or searching the scriptures. And the word here means what it means, examine, to look closely at. Not a passing glance, not just a casual look, but to delve into our Bible, to read slowly, to read carefully, to read with the intent of what does this word mean or what does this context mean? Another issue that we fight today in our modern culture is that of brevity. We want things quickly. We want things instantly. And we talk about attention deficit disorder, and I'm not poking fun at that. I'm not saying that that's not real, but some are finding it harder to focus. And there are studies being done that show that technology could be directly related to some of that. We're just so used to quick images, flashing images, brief images, that we are actually conditioning our mind not to be able to just sit there and focus on something. So the idea of examining the scriptures might be challenging moving forward, where we take the time to look and study and hone in on this, but it must be done. So this morning then, let's just briefly look at a few things to encourage us along this line. And it's just simply this. Have some sort of daily Bible reading in our life on a regular basis. I want to begin by just turning back to the Old Testament. Let's just briefly remind ourselves of some well-known Bible passages that tell us of the importance of having God's Word in our life. Once the law of Moses was written and recorded by Moses, then we begin to see these scriptures show up. The king was supposed to read the law and make a copy of the law. He was to read it and write it down for himself. Can you imagine writing word for word the law of Moses? The Israelites in Deuteronomy 31 were to gather together once every 7 years to hear the entire reading of the old law. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God comes and says to Joshua that you'll be successful. The word success is used there. You'll be successful when you read and meditate on the law of the Lord. And that same success is for us today. After they crossed over the Jordan, and after the conquest of Canaan, we find that Israel gathered together and heard the reading of the law. And if you notice Deuteronomy 31 and then Joshua 8, notice some passages in your Old Testament, especially where it says the women and the little ones were present. This is very, very important. Bible reading is not just for an adult. Bible reading is not just for a man. It needs to be a family affair. And so in Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua 8, the men, the women, and the little ones are present. Make it a family affair. And some of us who are older, maybe we have a situation where our grown children are not interested in that anymore. And I'll pray that that would change. But you might have to just start with the grandchildren. You might have to work with them. But we've got to have God's word in our life. The psalmist in Psalm 1 and verse 2, blessed is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. And the psalmist in Psalm 115 meditated. He loved the law and meditated on it. We're getting away from that today. Today, we're spending, I'm afraid, maybe too much time or more time with our technology than we are with God's word. And we have to learn to push some of that away and just say no to that and find a quiet place and a quiet time. We have our work. We got to go to work. And we have our families to raise. And we have chores and different things, different responsibilities. But we can find some time during the day to just meditate on the Word of God. And that's so important. We've got to help our children and our grandchildren to do the same. I was telling you about having reading right after breakfast. One time, I was junior high, maybe high school, and we had just wrapped up breakfast. We were running a little late, probably not due to my parents. It was probably due to me dragging my feet. You know how a teenager is, maybe in the bathroom or something, dragging his feet. And we were running a little late that morning. And so as soon as we got done eating, I got up. I was going to go outside and meet the bus. I had to walk way down the driveway. We lived in the big town of Pipe Creek, Texas, between San Antonio and Bandera on Highway 16. Maybe some of you know that, going out to Kerrville. So anyway, and Dad said, what are you doing? I said, well, I got to go meet the bus. He said, sit down. Dad, I got to go. Bus is coming. Sit down. We haven't read yet. And I said, well, what are we going to do? He said, we'll figure that out later. We're going to read. Sit down. And so you've got to make a time and keep a time. Again, like I told you earlier, for us and our children, Sherry and I did that right after dinner each evening. And, you know, before they have to go get their homework or before they have to go to this ball practice or band practice or whatever, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Find a time where you can be together. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, speaks of the blessedness and the wisdom of having God's law like a chain about our neck, and we're binding it about us. It's our daily walk of life. Josiah, you recall how that they were repairing the temple and the law of the Lord had gotten lost, and they find the law of the Lord in Josiah reads it, and then he gathers all Israel together in chapter 23 to read, to hear the reading of the law of God. That's an amazing story. How was it that the word of God had gotten lost by the people of God in the house of God? You ever thought about that? How did the word of God get lost by the people of God in the house of God? That is just a shame, but it can happen. And it can happen just through neglect. We're not really planning it. We're not really wanting it. It just happens. They had lost the law of God in the house of God by the people of God. So even we are not exempt from the dangers of really having more the world in us than the word in us. So Josiah had to get that back. Isaiah, seek out the book of the Lord and read. And the remnant in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, gathered together there in the broad place, and they had made a pulpit of wood so that Ezra could stand up and teach the law. And you recall the story there, how they gathered from morning till noonday, and they stood there and sat there attentively hearing all of the word of God. And then you get down to verses 13 and 14, and they explain the word of God, and they understand it, and then they go out and practice it. Lord willing, tonight we will have an opportunity to look at some of those stories out of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, but gathering together. And the Jews. The Jews, Jesus said to them, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have salvation. The Jews had the Word of God around them. They read it in the synagogue and so forth. But they had been neglecting it. In Acts 13 and in Acts 15, the law of Moses was read every Sabbath. But that didn't mean that the people were listening. That didn't mean that the people were understanding it and applying it in their lives. And so we have Bible classes here at Pruitt and Lobet every Sunday and Wednesday. But are we understanding it and applying it and teaching it to others? And so we have then these passages that remind us of the importance of God's Word in our life. Jesus, He reviewed the Scriptures. He opened the minds of those apostles after He had been risen from the dead. He did it with the two on the road to Emmaus and then later the apostles. He opened their minds that they might understand the Scriptures. And He taught them what was in the law and in the prophets concerning Him. Very important. And by the way, on that matter of the two on the road to Emmaus, in Luke 24, 27, when He got done with them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked with Him in the way? Do we have a burning desire for Bible study and Bible reading? We should love it. We should burn for it. And one of the greatest things that my parents instilled in me and my other family members was this desire to just really want to know and learn God's Word. We can get that back in our life. The New Testament church, they were to read the epistle that was sent to them. And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, read this to the church. And the letter to the Colossians have it, the letter to the Laodiceans, have it read to you as well. Read the Word of God. Get it in your life as much as you can. Paul tells Timothy, give attention to reading. To reading. This is actually the public reading of Scripture. Reading Scripture in a church assembly setting. So, these are a number of passages that we're familiar with that remind us of having the Word of God in our lives. Number two, let's look at some places where we need the Word of God in our lives. First of all, in our own personal reading and study. There's all kinds of things going on. I was in band growing up, and I understand we've got a young lady here that enjoys music. That's a great thing. Our kids they did sports and stuff, and it's fine to have hobbies, and you know, there's school activities and different kinds of things. But sometimes if we're not careful, we're going to have so much going on that we do not take time in our own personal lives. And so Moses told the Israelites, you've got to have the Word of God in your home. And it's like it's over the doorpost. And it's like it's on the forefront of your mind. And you've got to have the Word of God close in your life. And in Acts chapter 8, I like the Ethiopian eunuch. What is he doing on the way home from Jerusalem? He had been there to worship. What is he doing when he's riding along in the chariot? Is he checking his Facebook page? Is he, you know, texting somebody? He's spending time with the Word of God. He's in Isaiah. And that's the very thing when Philip joins him that leads to his conversion. Again, like I said earlier, I love my phone and I love the way to communicate that way, and I don't have any plans of getting rid of it. But we have to make a priority in our lives that is going to be less important. And with our children, let's have time where they can hear those Bible stories, where they can hear mom and dad reading and spending time together. It doesn't have to be a lot. A lot of times when we were reading at home, Sherry and I, maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes, somewhere along 10, 15 minutes at the most. If we can't have 10 minutes a day, that's pretty bad. We need to make some adjustments. And I'm all about staying busy and schedules and all kinds of things to do and running here and running there. But make time for our own personal learning. And by the way, with regard to like Jonathan and I was mindful of this last night in my room. I just read some scripture, not to get ready for a sermon, not to get ready for a Bible class, but just for our own personal edification and admonition. Even preachers, I think we ought to just read for our own personal edification and drawing closer to God. So that's very important. Another area in our life would be that of Bible class itself at the church building. And a lot of times in a Bible class, if we're not careful, we will spend more time with other kinds of things and not a whole lot of time with the Bible itself. I'm all for visual aids. In fact, when the children are younger and younger with regard to a Bible class at the building, you have to have some things to keep their attention. Having had four children, I know that. Okay, so when they're real little, you've got to keep their attention. So there might be some coloring activity or there might be some other thing like that. But just be careful that that doesn't become the main thing. Make sure that even with the children, we have some time where they're actually hearing the Bible story. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus went into the synagogue, he stood up to read, and he read from a portion of Isaiah there and then sat down to teach. I have witnessed some Bible classes in my life, like in the adult Bible class, where it's very little Bible. It's a lot about other stuff, what someone feels or think, or I think and I feel. And there's a time to make application. There's a time to express what's going on in your life. But we need to make sure that it's a Bible-based class. My mother taught Bible classes, children's classes at the church building for many, many years. And years ago, she wrote an article entitled, "It's Bible Class, Not Activities Class." And we just need to remember that. Even for the small children, it still needs to be Bible class. And make sure that they're hearing some Bible even when they are small. And of course, as adults, those of us who teach the adult Bible class, high school, junior high, on down, make it Bible-based. Our young people at home at Warfield Boulevard, we've got young people, high school on down, they are so challenged at school with all kinds of foolishness and worldliness and all kinds. What they need when they come together on a Sunday morning for a Bible class or a Wednesday night, what they really need is something to counteract what they're getting at school and at work and other places. And this is what it is. Not feelings, not sharing, not spending time, chatting, but they need to hear the Word of God. That's what's going to keep them strong throughout the week. So let's just make sure, just reassess and check that on our Bible classes. A third area would be in our sermons for those of us who are preaching. We need to make sure, and then those of us who are attending and in the audience, and again, every once in a while, there's a situation where maybe I'm sick or not feeling well, and it's hard to stay focused, but try to get a good night's rest. Try to be here and be alert and have our mind and use our time searching the scriptures. If it's taking notes for us or being mindful in some way of what's actually being said, there's a contrast in Acts 17 between those who didn't want to check anything out and those who did. And that includes me. Always go to the Bible and check out what I'm saying. We should always be Bible-based in our preaching. I don't have time to keep up with everybody who's preaching today, but every once in a while I will hear a younger person preaching in what we call a non-institutional Church of Christ, and it's a lot of I think and I feel and stories and this and that and very little Bible. And we need to get back to 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. We need to get back to Bible-based sermons. And I don't have to tell some of you, those of you who have been here at Pruitt and Lobet a good part of your life, or maybe all your life, the men that have stood in this pulpit, there's been no problem that there's been Bible-based preaching. And the last time I was here, I was not up here, I was out there with you was in the special series of lessons that was held here November of 1994 on the Romans 14 series. Jerry Feit and Larry Ray Hafley and Tom Roberts and all of those guys, Ron Halbrook. I was preaching down in Corpus Christi at the time and came up and attended those lessons. So you're very familiar with men that have stood here and have been Bible-based. Unfortunately, there are places showing up now where that is not the case, and younger men are just not, in my judgment, Bible-based like they need to be in their preaching. So, just quickly this morning, do we know how to do a basic word study? We have our English Bibles, of course, but if we wanted to know the Hebrew word behind that in the Old Testament or the Greek word, can we search that? Can we at least compare different English versions? Can we, if we are familiar with the King James, for example, can we compare that to the New King James or something else? Do we know how to just do some basic Bible study? I just want to list about three or four things here of just basic Bible study. I'm not talking about becoming some Bible scholar. I'm talking about just good basic Bible study. Can we read the immediate context? We can all do that. We can read above. We can read below. We can just do some basic examination. We can find all the scriptures on a topic. We could get out our old Strong's Concordance if we wanted to and just find all of the scriptures on a particular topic if we wanted to. Don't ever be afraid to do hard work, good work, serious work, digging in, learning. And we're never too old to learn. We can always learn more. My kids are teaching me all the time about stuff, especially on my phone. Show me how to do this. We can always learn and always grow, and we can learn how to just do some basic things. So I don't have this on the PowerPoint. I probably should have put this up there, but for those of you who are taking notes, I'm going to mention just quickly three websites that are really good, and they're not hard to use, just for good basic Bible study online. I'll mention those in just a minute. And then, of course, we can read the whole counsel of God. We can get all of what God says on a particular topic. I'm noticing this. It's only when I'm asked, would you listen to so-and-so's sermon? And I'm a little concerned. I'm hearing some uncertain sounds. Would you mind listening to this sermon? And I will, and I'll offer my critique. I don't go around trying to keep up with what everybody's doing. Nor should I. That's not my place in life. But every once in a while, when I'm asked to listen to something, I am hearing this. Again, usually among some of the younger preachers, what happens is they will stand up, and what they're saying about the topic is fine. The problem is they're not preaching the whole counsel of God. They're out of balance. They will focus on, and we're coming back around to this, where we're focusing on grace a lot. God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. And we're moving away from an act of obedient faith. It's both. But you'll hear folks, a lot of times younger preachers, they will emphasize one thing and really camp out on that because they're trying to fight some abuse that they think is going on. But then it's like what Jesus said, these ought you to have done and not left the other undone. So they will really hammer one thing, but they're not being fair in presenting the whole counsel of God. And so we've just got to get everything the Bible says on a particular matter. But three Bible websites. One I use almost daily, BibleHub.com, BibleHub, H-U-B. I use that almost on a regular basis. BibleGateway.com is a good website for comparing different Bible versions. And then BlueLetterBible.com. BibleHub.com, BibleGateway.com, and BlueLetterBible.com. Those three are easy to use. And this week, if you want to get into one of those more and learn how to dig into it more and poke around, you can get on those websites. You're not going to hurt anything. Just get in there and start poking around, start clicking on stuff, learning where things are. You're not going to hurt anything. And it might generate some interest in Bible study, but especially with regard to Bible Hub, If you're interested in learning that more this week, I'd be glad to get with you on that. I use that quite regularly for the Greek and Hebrew word studies and other kinds of things. Let's close with some reasons why we need to make sure God's word is in our lives. First of all, to keep us from error. Jesus said to the Sadducees, "You do err not knowing the scriptures." So the more we have God's word in our life, the less we are going to err. Number two, it's to keep ourselves sharp. And I need to go back and modify this PowerPoint. I want to pull out Matthew chapter 4. If you're taking notes, pull out Matthew chapter 4 and just make it a separate point to keep ourselves from falling into temptation. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, three times he said, "It is written." The more we know of the Word of God, it keeps us from falling into temptation. And it keeps us sharp for our teaching. When Apollos went to Corinth, before Apollos went to Corinth, the text says that he was mighty in the scriptures. The more we know of the Word of God, the more we can teach our neighbor. And we ought to be teachers. Hebrews 5:12, that's very important. We ought to be teachers. Okay. And by the way, if you do not get, and I appreciate those who are copying these things down, and I see some of you taking pictures, that's a good way to do it as well. But all of this is going to be on my website. The whole gospel meeting will be on my website, and you can go back and get those. Or if you'll just catch me after a service, we can make copies of the paper copies that I have. But I appreciate your interest in writing these things down. The more we have God's word in our lives, the more knowledgeable we'll be. There's a big level of ignorance today. Ignorance, and I don't use that in any kind of defamatory way. It's just ignorance just simply literally means not knowing, from the Latin not knowing. Many people just do not know what they need to know with regard to God. And so it makes us more knowledgeable. Jesus said on a number of occasions to Jews, he said, "Have you never read? Have you never read such and such?" So we just need to know more of God's word. It keeps ourselves from neglecting our duties. I like the one in Nehemiah 8 where they read the law all day long. And then the text says in verse 13 and 14, they read where the Feast of Tabernacles was supposed to be kept. They hadn't been doing that. And they say, "Hey, let's get out there and keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So it keeps us from neglecting things that we need to be doing. We may find something in the New Testament that we've not been doing. It could be hospitality. It could be talking to the lost. It could be a number of things. It just keeps us from neglecting our basic duties. It keeps us built up and edified. Paul said to the elders there in Acts 20 that I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And just, we all need that. Marriages need that. Parents need that. Raising kids is challenging, and life's situations are challenging. We just need to be built up and edified and strengthened, and the Word of God regularly in our lives will do that. It keeps us from twisting scriptures. So we're not going to approach one thing and then twist it because we've neglected something else. The more we know, the broader spectrum that we have of God's Word. I spoke with you earlier about some preachers. They might get up and focus on one thing, but they're twisting it to make it look like that's the priority and then something else is not, when that's not the case. And so a wide range or a full range of God's word helps us to what the older preachers always called this rightly dividing the word. 2 Timothy 2:15. The word literally means to cut a straight course. We're going to be careful and accurate and rightly divide the word of God. And then last of all, and this is so important, and when I see our young people out here, I'm so encouraged when I see young people and children, it keeps the next generation faithful to God. There was a generation, Judges 2:10, who knew not God. And the next few verses say they just go haywire with idolatry and all of that, and God has to bring the judges up along to save them. There was a generation who knew not God. And so we want to keep ourselves and our children faithful to God. We want them to become Christians. We want them to make it through life. I pray for my kids all the time. I just want them to get through life and go to heaven. That's all I want. And when they were real little, I wasn't thinking about that as much, but they're all grown, and two of them are married, and all I want them to do is just go to heaven. And the way that happens is that they have a foundation every day on the Word of God. So, brethren, I appreciate your time and attention this morning in letting me direct your minds during a Bible class, and I wanted to focus on the Bible. Let's make sure that we have God's Word in our life daily and regularly, and I hope that this has encouraged us to do that. If you'd like to talk with me privately about practical things and how we might implement some of these things, or the Bible websites or the study, I love that kind of thing. Feel free to talk with me about that. Thank you, and we'll have our break.